You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
We have sent our idiots to America. Sort of. Gord Miller, Dave Festchuk here on Overdrive on TSN 1050. Here's the problem. I lived this yesterday. Hayes and O-Dog are living it today. They're stuck at the airport trying to get to Vegas. So last we heard, they were still there. We'll try to get you an update, but they're still trying to get to Vegas for the big Leafs game tomorrow night, Valentine's Day wedding promo tomorrow, the whole shebang, but the weather is holding them back. And Jamie McLennan, who I worked with last night in Ottawa, is sick as a dog.
Really?
He is. Noodles is...
He's out.
Overcooked.
He is overcooked already.
Yes.
So, and he has not arrived in this trip.
He's the only person who feels lousy before going to Vegas. And so now he had to fly through Vancouver from Ottawa and then down to Vegas that way. That's the long way. If you look at a map and draw a line from Ottawa to Vegas, Vancouver is nowhere near that line.
That seems like poor routing.
Yes, but that was his only choice.
It was his only choice. So let me get this straight. This flight was supposed to leave today at 10:30 a.m. It is now 4 p.m. And last we heard from Mr. Hayes' Twitter account, they were still on the tarmac.
The good news is that O-Dog would handle this well. Because among the things O doesn't like, flying, waiting, and lots of people he doesn't know.
Yes.
What happens at the airport?
Exactly.
What are the three things you find at the airport? Flights.
Yes.
Waiting.
Lots of waiting.
And people you don't know.
Plenty of those.
Yeah.
And
so
now he's in a confined space. Well, that's going on. Let's see how his claustrophobia is holding up.
Yeah.
Probably can't be good.
No. So at any rate, we're going to keep you updated this afternoon about what's going on with the fellas. But the last we heard, they had not yet left. I'm going to check the Air Canada app here. Let's see about the Vegas flight today.
It's an Air Canada Rouge flight.
Revised. Okay. Oh, it's left the gate.
It's left the gate. That's a good sign.
It has left the gate. It has not taken off yet.
Probably in the de-icing bay.
True. And it's Rouge. So, right now, they probably had to butter him to get him into his seat. Rouge is a little snug.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Rouge was the brainchild, if you will, of the man who now runs Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Were you aware
Michael
of this?
Michael Friso, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of low profile. He's kept a very low profile since he took over Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. But the man who gave you Air Canada Rouge, which I would call a flying torture chamber, gave us...
I'm not sure it's torture. I mean, how tall are you?
6'2".
I'm 6'3", yeah.
Okay.
I don't love it.
I hate it.
I once paid someone $70 to switch seats. Because I couldn't get one of the bulkhead seats, and there was a woman sitting there who was quite small. I said, I got $70 on me. I'll give you $70 to switch seats.
And?
Yeah.
She accepted?
Yeah.
You just flipped her cash?
Dude, I was in seat like 14D. I was going to eat my knees for
you're
dinner.
Making my point for
no,
me.
I'm not
you're
it's
making
not
my point
torture.
For
it's
me.
It's uncomfortable. It's not torture.
Okay, well, torture, yes. I'm exaggerating.
We're going to talk to Chris Bosch here at 6:30. And Chris, we're going to talk about customs and...
Flying. This is a great segue. The boys are heading down to Vegas, and we got Chris Bosch, who's made it very clear he was not a fan of the travel experience out of Toronto while he played for the Raptors.
Now, you've traveled. Have you ever traveled the charter with the Raptors?
I've never traveled on the charter. Funny, they don't allow that.
The Raptors have never allowed that?
They've never allowed that. I think that my colleague Doug Smith with the Toronto Star, I believe, has caught a one time they played around Christmas time, and they actually allowed Doug on the charter to get home for Christmas, which I thought was heartwarming.
I have flown on charters. I don't love it. I find it uncomfortable. But I don't mean physically uncomfortable, but just...
Being around the team.
Yeah, because now you feel like, you know...
What if you see something or hear
not
something?
Not just that, but I mean, if you do a game, then you get it in the charter. And then, you know, I mean, I don't say many things that are, you know, outrageous or anything. I mean, I'm not... But the analyst might.
Right.
Like, what if a guy spits a pizza out and winds up in the net and he says, that's got to be stopped or that's a terrible play? Then you got to get in their charter, right? And I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair though, Ray is saying that stuff last night on the Leaf bench.
Ray wouldn't care.
No, Ray wouldn't care.
So I did a game a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I did a game in Tampa for NBC. Okay, so Philadelphia at Tampa, big snowstorm coming to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get there before the snowstorm hits because I can't miss a TSN game because of NBC.
Or you'll be.
That's it for NBC.
Yeah, you're done.
My bosses here have made it very clear. So
fair enough.
Which is
you're moonlighting.
They're absolutely right. So I jumped on the Flyer charter to get back to Philly to catch a 6 a.m. flight to Montreal, right, to beat the storm.
Smart man.
Everything's great. Flyers lose 6-0 in
Ooh.
Tampa.
Ooh.
Ilya Brizgalov torched. So I am like, I'm just like incognito getting on the plane. I got my collar up. I'm going to get on, get in my seat, read my book, and not talk to anyone.
Smart idea.
Brizgalov, Gordo, how are you? I'm like, get away from me. What are you doing on the charter? Good to see you. How have you been? And I speak a little bit of Russian, so he starts speaking Russian. I'm like, dude, like, just go to your seat. Leave me alone. Like, get away from me.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So anyway, so the deal is, and we'll get into with Chris Bosch later, but look, customs when you come into Canada on a charter is really easy.
Oh, yeah.
The plane lands, an agent gets on, you hand them your card, you get off. It's honestly getting off a plane.
Couldn't be better.
Going to the United States is a little different because with U.S. customs, they're a little more strict. Sometimes you have to go through an area where customs is as opposed to just getting on the plane.
Yeah.
So you got, and then you get bussed over to your the area where the plane takes off.
You mean you might have to do what the rest of the unwashed plebes like us do, Gord? You might have to interact with people.
It sounds like I am making excuses for pampered athletes, which maybe I am.
I think you are.
Yes, my mineral water is flat too. But no, I do think that, look, if you play for the New York Yankees, you get on the plane, you get off, you get on, you get off, that's the deal. When you play for the Blue Jays, there's the extra step. The other thing Bosch talked about is the taxes.
Yep.
Now, they are higher here. There's lots of vehicles that players can use now to flatten out the taxes a little bit.
Well, we just saw it with the Austin Matthews contract. You get paid in signing bonuses. The tax rate can be a lot lower.
Not just that, but also there's things called RCAs, where you can, if you're a person that gets a lot of commission money, you can use this to spread your taxes out over several years if you get one-time payments like signing bonuses or whatever else. So there are ways to do that. But still, listen, Ontario is a high-tax jurisdiction. No question about it. Right. And so that is part of it. I think we're going to have to accept, and you don't like to say it, but for the Blue Jays and the Raptors, they're probably never going to be a big free agent destination.
No, probably not.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just a fact of life.
And my thing is, it's a bit of a red herring because the bottom line is they've had free agents sign here. Their own free agents. You know,
right.
Vince Carter left, but Vince Carter re-signed here. You know, Chris Bosch left, but Chris Bosch re-signed here. They're hoping Kawhi Leonard will sign here after coming here in a trade.
Right.
That's all that matters. Can you keep a team together that's promising? Can you keep free agents? And by the way, they've got a pretty good track record of keeping them. DeMar DeRozan, another case in point, who didn't leave until he had to leave. He was told to leave through trade, wanted to stay here.
Right. So, but I do think that the way the Blue Jays and the Raptors are going to build good teams is by drafting and trading.
Fair enough.
Josh Donaldson came in a trade. Right?
Yes.
Like for the most part, you're going to have to accumulate assets and then trade them for established players.
But the thing is, here's why we're in uncharted territory, Gord. We just had a guy come here as a free agent on the hockey side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for how many years did people say Leafs can't attract a decent free agent unless he's past his prime? We heard that for years and years and years. Guess what's changed? The team's good, right? The team is good, so John Tavares came here. John Tavares didn't come here because it's his hometown. I think it's one of the reasons he came here because of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Morgan Riley, Freddie Anderson, a team that's really good on the precipice of being a Stanley Cup contender for years to come.
Except that the Leafs are a team that is central to the hockey conversation,
of course,
at all times. The fact of the matter is, if you come to Toronto as a Blue Jay or a Raptor, for the most part, you're not really... Now, the Raptors more so now.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
You weren't really... But you're not
that's
really
what I'm trying to get at.
You're not really in the mainstream of the conversation.
It's not the mainstream, but you're getting close. Like if Kawhi Leonard re-signs here, there'll be people that come here. I mean, like, obviously, you can't get... You're not going to be going after the marquee guy necessarily,
right,
although you might. I mean, Masai Ujiri's swinging for the fences at all times. That's who he is as a person. That's who he is as an executive. But, look, we just saw Jeremy Lin. You know, I mean, this is not a marquee free agent by any measure, but he's a buyout guy who chose to come to Toronto. Why? Because it's not because of the weather.
No.
It's not because of the customs. It's not because of, you know, you got to pull your passport out. You can't forget your passport at home, which has happened to NBA players in the past who couldn't make the trip. You know, for all those reasons. No, he came here because the team is good, because it's attractive to play with a guy like Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and on down the line. So when the team is good, look, it's the same as OKC. You know, nobody went to OKC. Paul George didn't sign in OKC for the weather. He didn't sign there for the culture. He signed there because Russell Westbrook's there, because the team is good. You know, it's a place you can play and be competitive.
And one of the intriguing things I find is when you ask NBA players their favorite places to come to, Toronto's always in the top five.
100% of
players love coming here, but coming here and living here, for whatever reason, are two different things. Now, as you said, if the Raptors are really good, that can change it.
Sure.
To an extent. But I was in Philly on Monday. So I'm going down to the arena there, and I'm in the cab, and they've got the sports radio station on, WIP or wherever it is in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the Sixers. And they're like, you know, Milwaukee's coming here, and Boston's coming here, and it's going to be down to those three for the East. And I'm like, hello? Like, there's a team in Toronto. Now,
that's fair.
Now, is that just three guys on Philly radio talking about the Bucks and the Celtics? There does seem to be, you're not going to get the same kind of exposure. From a hockey sense, you come to Toronto, you're going to get exposure.
Right? Yeah.
You're going to be in the main, you're going to be in the spotlight, whether they're good or bad. Don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right. So
I agree with that. So, there's no doubt about that.
To a lesser extent, like, your shoe company might not want you to come to Toronto.
I'm not sure about that anymore. I mean, you know, you look at the history of it. Like, Vince Carter became the most popular player in the NBA for a moment in time, right? When he won this, it was 19 years ago. Right around, I think it was the other day, I saw it on Twitter. There was people reminiscing, and I happened to be in the building. I was lucky enough to be in Golden State the night that Vince Carter won the slam dunk contest in 2000. It was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen in my life. In that moment, when he won that slam dunk contest, and in the fallout that happened afterward in terms of the explosion that was Vinsanity, he was the most popular player on the planet, and it didn't matter that he played in Toronto because he was the absolute lead highlight on ESPN Sports Center, never mind TSN Sports Center, every night, right? Because he was pulling off dunks night after night in that run that were just incredible.
What bugged a lot of Raptor guys? They'd watch TSN Sports Center and they'd see 9 hockey highlights.
Yes.
Right. And then theirs.
And then and then there was always that one. I remember Tracy McGrady talking about how, why is there so much curling on TV?
Well, honest to God, I don't remember who the guy was. I was doing a Raptor game years ago. I was calling a Raptor game. And one of the players said, hey, man, you're from TSN. I go, what's with all the curling?
Yeah. It was a common complaint back in those days, for sure.
But I think you're right to an extent. If they're winning and they're good for a while, but how do they get good for a while? They got to draft guys. They're going to have to draft guys and make good trades for them.
Yeah.
For the most part. This is not...
I agree with that, except I think we are in slightly uncharted territory here.
Who's the best free agent the Raptors have ever signed?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's
Charles Oakley?
It's a short list, right? It's a short list of guys. Charles Oakley's up there, yeah. I mean, it's a short list of guys. They've signed their own free agents. But look at this. Even this week, like, Mark Stein of the New York Times reported that Kristaps Porzingis, before he was traded to Dallas in that deal that took him out of New York, and who knows what the Knicks are doing trading that guy, because Kevin Durant dubbed him the unicorn and he is a special talent. Of course, he's injured right now. We haven't seen him this season, but when he returns to the NBA, I would expect he's going to be electric, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch down there in Dallas. But he was interested in Toronto as a possible destination out of New York. And so I think it's changing. Because it just takes, like, you got to remember, like, this team is not that old. It's barely 24 years old.
Yeah.
It's a generation of people that have grown up with it. In the early days, it was a joke. It was a laughingstock. So you're really only a handful of years into the respectable Raptor era, where it wasn't just about Vince Carter and a cartoon show, right? And so that's why it's going to take time. But I do think, look, you got a young NBA player there in Kristaps Porzingis who just came into the league, and he sees Toronto not as an outpost, but as a possible destination, according to Mark Stein in the New York Times, who is one of the most credible reporters in the NBA circles.
Where's he from?
Who, Porzingis? He's from Latvia.
So a European would likely look more favorably on a Canadian city than maybe an American guy would.
Well, there's that.
I do think, to be fair.
You know, Marc Gasol, another one, who's happy to be in Toronto.
I think the fact that Gasol, I love the fact that Gasol has embraced being a Raptor so openly. And I mean, look, it's not an inferiority complex, please like us. It's, he genuinely was happy to be moved here.
Yes. Oh, beyond happy. I think he was thrilled.
Yeah.
Because he's gone from a non-competitive situation to a competitive situation. He's gone from a town that's not particularly, you know, thrilling in Memphis, although it's got its history and it's got its, you know, it's got Beale Street and it's got all that. But he's come to a cultural epicenter from a relative backwater, right?
So the Blue Jays pitchers and catchers reported today.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to Kim Kirkjian from ESPN at 4:30. I'm intrigued about how the Blue Jays get good again, because here you have Vladdy Guerrero.
Yes.
Right, who is probably the most exciting prospect outside of the major leagues. Of all the guys who haven't played in the big leagues, he's probably the most exciting prospect. He won't play for the Blue Jays probably until late April. Right?
Yeah.
That allows them to keep him another year before he qualifies for free agency.
Yeah.
It's a not a loophole, but it's a wrinkle in their CBA. Are the Blue Jays right to do that?
I don't think they are, personally, but because it's become standard procedure for MLB teams who are essentially gaming the system, it's become standard procedure, and therefore you're at a disadvantage if you don't follow it.
Right.
And so we've seen so many teams do it with so many star, up-and-coming star players or would-be star players that we don't really bat an eye at it, even though the teams can't acknowledge what it is. They can't say, we're keeping them down in the minors because we're trying to manipulate service time, which is what they're doing. They have to say, we're keeping him in the minors because we feel he needs to work on hitting the cutoff man a little bit, right? Even though we all know it's not about that, right?
Right.
It's not about that. But bottom line is, agents know what happens. They complain about it. I've heard multiple agents complain about it. Executives shrug and go, we're not stupid. Why wouldn't we do this? It benefits us, and we'd be dumb not to try it.
You have to. I think especially if you're the Dodgers, maybe you don't have to. If you're the Yankees, maybe you don't have to.
Well, there's a whole philosophy that just says, look, you're going to have to, if you really believe in this kid and you believe in your ability to develop this kid, bring him to the big leagues when he's ready and then pay him when he needs to get paid, right? And everything will be fine. Now, if you're trying to nickel and dime every decision you make and, you know, trying to be a budget franchise when you're in a big market like this, then you do that.
But I sacrifice the extra month to have him for an extra year. I sacrifice the month of April to have him for another year.
As long as, here's the caveat, Cord, as long as it doesn't affect your relationship with him, as long as it doesn't start
your... I don't care.
Oh, you know, I care.
He's leaving anyway. Like if he's
How
gonna,
do you know he's leaving?
If he's going to go, he's going to go. Like, if you think a guy's going to leave because 5 years ago you made him sit for 3 weeks in April?
Well, we don't know how...
If he's going to leave, it's going to be for $350 million with the Angels or whoever.
Although, as we'll talk to Tim Kirkjian about, you know, maybe the $350 million deal is a thing of the past in Major League Baseball.
Well, ask Bryce Harper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Manny Machado. Like,
how about a free agency year to really make you rethink what you know about Major League Baseball and money, right? Like, this is a real resetter of the clock of what we expect in Major League Baseball in terms of the financials.
We're also going to talk about the Leafs a little bit coming
you
up.
You think we should?
Yeah, we should. You know, three power play goals last night against Colorado. Watch out in the Western Conference that Colorado doesn't hit anybody on the way down. Because they are... I mean, Anaheim, I mean...
That's eight in a row without a win.
Yeah, unbelievable. In Colorado, I mean, they were battling for the division lead at Christmas time.
It was amazing. It's amazing the downfall. Now, they can't get anybody to stop a puck. I mean, goaltending is a half of it, at least.
And you know what? We saw this with Dallas until they got some... When you're a one-line team...
And you can't stop a puck.
Really, it's really tough. Like, I mean, everything's got to go your way. When you're a one-line team, you just can't... You can't ride out a flat stretch. So,
no.
So the Leafs are do we know who our guest is at 5 o'clock yet? Because Ray Ferraro is traveling today. What's that? We don't know who the guest is. We're gonna have a guest at 5 o'clock.
We're gonna have a Maple Leafs focused guest.
Someone who is on the road with the Leafs is gonna tell us which side of the ice Morgan Rielly and Jake Muzzin are gonna play on.
Well, we know that because at practice today.
Morgan Rielly's gonna play on the left side.
Yes.
With Ron Hainsey.
Back to the old ways. Mike Babcock liked it so much to start the season, he's gonna keep going.
I got a pair of shoes like Ron Hainsey. Like, when I don't know, I just throw them on. I know they're comfortable. They don't necessarily go with everything, but they don't not go with everything.
You're Babcockian in your habitual lean on these shoes.
Hey, I'll just wear those things. You know,
they're not very nice.
And they're not
them, very good anymore. They probably have to retire them next season. But I'm going to wear the crap out of them.
The sole's probably going to fall off at any moment. But you know what? I'll just wear those.
You know, are they really slow, too? Are they slow shoes?
I'm slow in them.
You're slow in them.
I'm quite slow in them.
So. Well, and they're just like Ron Hainsey, then.
Yeah, so there you go. So we got lots coming up today. We'll talk some more Raptors. Rod Black will join us. We're going to talk Chris Bosch. I'm excited about that.
Same here. I haven't talked to Chris in quite some time. He's getting his number retired in Miami. He's a man about the world. Interesting points of view.
Is he the greatest homegrown Raptor? I guess not, huh?
Well, I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. I mean, DeMar DeRozan has accumulated the most accomplishments as a Raptor, a draftee. Vince Carter, for me, in his prime, was still the best player they've ever had in a lot of ways.
Really?
Well, he peaked. At his peak, he had the ability to be the best player in the league.
Do you think
he
never got there. Vince Carter was better than Chris Bosh at his peak?
Yes. Okay. I do believe that. Yeah, he commanded games in a way Chris never could, and it's no slight on Chris, but Chris is a complimentary player. Vince had the ability to be, although he never made good on that ability, to be a centerpiece on a really competitive team. Now, unfortunately, he peaked at age 23. He never really developed into the player a lot of people thought he could be, but he still, to me, his raw talent, and the fact he's still in the NBA past age 40 tells you about his raw talent, right? His genetic outlier nature is incredible. But yeah, I'd still, if I had to pick one Raptor out of the draft, if you could, you know, make time irrelevant, I think Vince Carter is your pick.
I'll tell you what, I go to Raptor games, you know, 10 times a year and watch them on TV.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard's the best Raptor I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, if he'd play. You know, if he'd play an extended stretch, I might tend to agree with
you. But in a game, like watching him in a game, he's the best Raptor I've ever seen.
Well, resume-wise, not in terms of what he's done for the Raptors, but in terms of his career resume.
Not just that, but on the court. He does more things than any Raptor I've ever seen.
They've never had a player like this. There's no doubt. My thing is...
So I'm not crazy.
I'm not going to say Kawhi Leonard's the greatest Raptor of all time.
No.
Because he's barely been here.
No, there's a difference. And I've said this about the CFL. Doug Flutie is the greatest CFL player of all time.
Right.
The best player I ever saw in the CFL was Warren Moon.
Right. That's the difference.
He wasn't here long enough, but Warren Moon was the best player I ever saw play in the league. There's a difference. I mean, it's a bit like Gretzky and Lemieux. Wayne Gretzky, to me, is the greatest NHL player of all time. Mm-hmm. Mario Lemieux, at his best, was the best player I've ever seen.
That's actually an interesting distinction.
He did more things, but he did for reasons, injuries, illness. Gretzky was greater longer than anyone, which to me is the best.
But you're right, in terms of freakish talent, and that might be the thing that distinguishes Vince Carter, is in terms of freakish talent that made you go, wow, I'm not, even though Kawhi Leonard has a lot of those freakish talent qualities, I don't think anybody's ever made me go, wow, like Vince Carter made me go, wow.
All right, hopefully lots more wow moments here on this program. We have news. We believe that Air Canada Rouge Flight 1851 is wheels up to Vegas.
Whoa, big moment. All right.
Hayes and the O-Dog are on their way. Jamie McLennan went the long way through Vancouver.
I still can't get over that one. Ottawa, well, Vancouver, Vegas, while you have the flu, as apparently Noodles does.
Well, but he had to get out of Ottawa. The trick was he might not. The first two flights out of Ottawa to Toronto this morning were canceled.
Oh.
So if he'd stuck with the flight I was on, he would have missed the connection. Well,
In the end, he would have had plenty of time.
In the end, he would have theoretically missed it.
Because it was the flight they just left the ground with, Air Canada Rouge, was supposed to take off at 10:30 a.m.
Yes. They pushed back at 3:32.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine being inside that airplane with the O-Dog and Hayes.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming are the couple getting married?
I don't know.
The betrothed, as they would call it, should be called. Yeah, I don't know either. Is the couple on the flight? I'm not sure. But man, I just hope we have, as a station, as an entity, I hope we have good insurance, Gord.
I do. I hope.
Because I like working here.
And good PR people. To smooth over any of the issues that happen while they're in Vegas. Speaking of Las Vegas, a little segue here. You know who's from Vegas?
No.
Bryce Harper's from Vegas.
I did know that.
Yeah. You know where he's playing baseball right now?
Nobody seems to.
Nowhere.
Maybe Tim Kirkjian knows.
Maybe Tim Kirkjian does know. Tim Kirkjian from ESPN joins us now. Tim, thanks for joining us.
How you doing? And I don't know.
Well, where is Bryce Harper? What's he doing?
Well, as far as I know, he's back in Las Vegas waiting for a good offer to come along, or at least a better offer than what he has gotten to this point. This is becoming a major issue now around baseball, that more and more players are speaking up about what is going on here. And even though I don't believe this is collusion, I covered collusion in the late 80s when Andre Dawson just said, here's a blank contract. I'll just fill it out. I'll play for whatever you put down. That's not this. But this is a sea change, and we had all better get used to the fact that the way free agency used to be done, I just don't think it's going to be done that way anytime soon.
So, Tim, I mean, we're just starting to get the coverage of spring training going here, but we've already heard from a handful of players. We heard Justin Verlander, obviously one of the best pitchers in the game, say that the free agency process in this game is broken. I mean, is that a fair statement, or how fair is the fact that Verlander's calling it a broken system?
Well, it's not a good situation that we have now. That's fairly obvious when over 100 free agents are still out there, and including arguably two of the top 10 players in the game, and they can't find a job, or they're just not willing to accept what they think is a low of an offer. But Verlander makes a good point. There are a lot of players in baseball that feel the same way, but I think, again, we have to get used to the fact that the new people running the game today, not just the owners, but these brilliant, young, remorseless, relentless general managers who have a value system for these players that they have devised in great part due to sabermetrics. And if you don't fit into their value box, they're not going to pay you. And that's what I think we all need to be aware of. We saw it change last year. But I thought it, at least, would there would be two exceptions this year, Machado and Harper, and so far, they are not even the exceptions, even at their track record and their age.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian from ESPN, their Major League Baseball analyst.
Hey, Tim, so, you know, reading a lot of the stuff that's coming out of baseball these days, there's also people pointing to the luxury tax. Now, everybody says, you know, baseball doesn't have a salary cap, but how influential is the fact that there is this luxury tax threshold of $206 million, and it seems to be dissuading teams from spending, at least spending right now?
Well, there's no doubt the luxury tax is a very viable part of the owner's thinking today. It's not a hard cap like people say, but nobody wants to pay an extra tax unless they absolutely have to. And it's amazing how far under the luxury tax a bunch of teams are right now. 50, 40, 80, $100 million under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise to me is that our bigger market teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers, even they are saying, we're going to try to stay under that also. So does that work as a cap? Well, to some degree, it does. But again, this is part of the new economics of baseball, that these teams and these young general managers are just saying, just because something was done a certain way 5 years ago doesn't mean that we have to do that today. If we determine that those deals made 5 years ago were mistakes, it's not up to us to repeat a mistake.
Tim, the Blue Jays have a lot of excitement around them this year for spring training because of Vladimir Guerrero primarily. Is that excitement shared around baseball? Is he as viewed as much of a phenom around baseball as he is here in Toronto?
Yes. Everyone wants to see Vlad Guerrero play, including me. And when I say see him play, I mean see him play on the major league level with a big league club. That we all can't wait. I mean, this is
you're going to have to wait, by the way.
Right. Yes, we're going to have to wait a little while. But when he gets here, he's never going back, and he will dazzle us for 10 to 15 years. That's how good I think he's going to be. But this is, again, part of the new economics. Teams look at him and say, well, if we delay his time in the big leagues, we can keep him longer. It is a backhanded compliment to the fans saying we want him to keep him here for you longer, and the best way to do that is to delay his start of his major league career. Part of me hates that. Part of me understands it, but everyone should understand this is realistic baseball in 2019.
Hey, Tim, you know, Gordon and I were just talking about that service time manipulation that teams partake in. Have you seen that cause animosity between a player and a team at any point?
Well, sure. I mean, I think Chris Bryant, he would never come out publicly and say anything like that. But I know behind the scenes, that the players are muttering about service time manipulation, and now they're muttering about free agency. Their thinking has always been, okay, you can get me at the beginning of my career, but once I get the hammer in arbitration, and especially in free agency, that's when it's my time. But yet, the last 2 years are now proving that being a free agent may not be my time for the players. So, yes, I think the grumbling is going to continue, and it could lead to some really tricky situations around work stoppages and labor agreements.
Tim, one of the topics of conversation, especially early in the year last year, was the baseball wasn't as exciting as it's been. The games were becoming, the number of, we weren't seeing as many hits. We were seeing a hit every 12 minutes,
yeah,
on average in a Major League Baseball game. There were some ideas about, making the DH universal, even making a minimum number of batters that a reliever has to face. What do you think of that?
I'm all for getting some dead time out of the game. However, if you are going to mess with the fabric of the game, I'm going to stand up and say, no, that's enough. I'm not in favor of putting a runner at second base to start the 10th inning of a tie game. I'm not in favor of that. I am in favor of a pitch clock. But given all the issues that we have right now with free agency, salaries, roster manipulation, service time manipulation, the players are really not interested right now in fixing the pace of play. They're interested in fixing the economics of the game. So my guess is a lot of these pace of play things are going to be put over to the side while the Players Association says we have to save our game financially or our players financially, and we can't be messing around with a pitch clock for our pitchers.
Right. Well, Tim, I guess the current collective bargaining agreement between the players and Major League Baseball, it runs through December of 2021. Right? So are you sort of seeing the idea that, we could be in the lead up to some sort of a labor strife between the players and the league?
Yeah, and I think it's certainly something we all have to be concerned about. I covered the 81 strike. That's how far I go back.
That was a good one, too.
That was the worst thing I've ever covered. It's the worst thing I've ever been a part of. It was awful. And the one in the 90s was terrible, too. So we can't have another one of those. Baseball rebounds every time from these things, but I'm not sure this is the environment to rebound. And this is why I'm mildly encouraged that at least both sides are talking about issues right now, because I think they're going to have to talk about them consistently and constantly from now until December 2021 to make sure we don't have a work stoppage.
All right, Tim, a couple of quick ones for you here before we let you go. Number one, some of the computer models are putting the Blue Jays over-under for wins on the season at 78. Are you taking the over or the under?
I'm going to go under, but just barely. I think they're a 75 to 80 win team for me. That's about as far as I'll go with them. So I'll say they're going to win 76, 77 games.
All right. And on opening day, Bryce Harper will be where?
Again, a total guess, even though we're over 3 months into this. I think he's going to be on the Phillies, and I say that with very little confidence because I simply don't know, and it's driving all of us crazy as we chase this thing around without getting any concrete evidence on what's happening.
How many times a day do you get asked about it?
Every day. multiple times every day, and we're all tired of it. I'm sure Bryce Harper is more tired of it than anyone, but it's time to turn the page and get him and Machado signed, and let's move ahead.
All right, Tim, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys, see ya.
Thanks. Tim Kirkton, the ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, who's been covering the game for a long time. It really is a different landscape. 2 years ago, when the Bryce Harper contract and free agency was first talked about, it was assumed he'd be a Yankee.
Yeah.
There were Photoshop pictures of Bryce Harper in a Yankee uniform. Every time he went to New York, it was talked about. It was just assumed that the Yankees would open the vault and once again give him one of those, 12-year, $360 million deals.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the thing about it, that is amazing to me is that these aren't old guys. Like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are both 26-year-old ball players.
And I don't care what the analytics say. I do, but Bryce Harper's a fantastic. I mean, this is not you don't want Bryce Harper on your team. This is evaluation question. This is a trying to put his proper value in perspective.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. I mean, look, I think defensively, I think what's hurting him a little bit is just the micro-analytical age that we're in where people can put a value on everything you do at the plate, on the field as a defensive player. This is a guy who's not a top 10 player, even though he might have a top 10 profile as a major leaguer.
He's not a top 10 player.
Well, a lot. I mean, I'm just going by what the metrics say, what WAR says, right? He wasn't top 10 WAR player last year. So I think part of that is being, probably an adequate outfielder, but not an elite outfielder. And part of that is just, how he hit at the plate. But look, this guy's been an MVP. He's been a 6-time All-Star. There's no doubt he's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. I think last season, wasn't his best according to WAR. And let's face it.
So wins above replacement have become everything, right? That's the new mantra.
That's one of the major metrics people are looking at here. And then I guess the other metric is, Gord, is that people are saying, yeah, he's only 26, but when you look at historic WAR and the way people fall off a cliff as they age into their 30s in Major League Baseball, bat speed goes down. We saw it with Jose Bautista in his mid-30s. As much as he was an absolute physical specimen who did everything right in terms of keeping care of that body, and he looked great, he looked strong, but we saw with our own eyes his bat speed just absolutely topple off a cliff. That's why they don't want to make these 10- and 12-year investments anymore, because they're very wary of that happening, and they don't want to be paying for it.
It's amazing. If opening day comes a month from now and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't signed, Machado was the talk of baseball. I mean, the deadline last year.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he may have cost himself the way he performed down the stretch, not hustling, all the stuff that we saw that wasn't good body language. Yeah. That's not analytics. That's just eye test stuff that you went, do we really want this guy? Do we really want to invest 10 years in this guy who doesn't even hustle down the line when he hits a ground ball anymore? I mean, there's that stuff too. But I mean, you can talk about collusion. And I know a lot of players are pointing to collusion and Justin Verlander's calling it a broken system. But I think this might be more of a situation of just all the minds in baseball are thinking exactly alike now, because they've all got the same numbers, they've all got the same type of education, and they've all come to the same conclusion, which is this investment in this particular player is not for us.
All right, still to come, we'll talk about the Leafs as they continue their Western swing, and we'll also talk about the Raptors and talk with a former Raptor. Chris Bosch will join us at 6:30.
And newsflash, Kawhi Leonard is out again. What a shock. Out again tonight against the Wizards. Load management on a sore left knee.
I need some load management. Seriously. I need some load management.
We all do.
We'll take some load management here for about 3 minutes. How's that sound? Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs versus the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday, February the 23rd. Every day this week, we'll provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. On Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Be the first to answer correctly, and you and a friend are going to the game on February the 23rd. The clue today, this player also played for the Montreal Canadiens and the Carolina Hurricanes. Gord Miller, Dave Festchuk here, sitting in for the boys on Overdrive 1050. They're on their way to Vegas.
Wheels up to Vegas, wheels finally.
So Hayes and O-Dog are in the air. I think Jamie's there already. He left Ottawa early this morning, 8 a.m., so I think he got to Vancouver 10 o'clock Pacific time. Yeah, that's 1 o'clock. Yeah, he's probably in Vegas already.
And Chad and Ashley, no word on Chad and Ashley.
So Chad and Ashley, who are getting married tomorrow.
Yes.
On the show, getting married, then going to the Leaf game.
Amazing.
And then spending the weekend in Vegas for their honeymoon. How about the couple from Anaheim? Did you hear about this?
I did.
That went on the road with the Ducks for their honeymoon. So they went to Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa.
One more in there. Four games, I think.
Philly. And they got smoked.
What a shock.
Anaheim. Now, the weather was awful everywhere they went. The Ducks got smoked. And so James Duthie heard about it. And James has connections like you can't believe. And so he called his buddy who has a resort at a Turks and Caicos.
Right, which Duthie always Instagrams from.
Because don't we all know someone in Turks and Caicos?
Yeah.
No. I know someone in Turks, but not Caicos. And then so he hooked them up for like a week down there.
Like Duthie is remorseless with his random Instagrams from a beautiful beach in Turks and Caicos.
And by the way, no one like Darren Dreger. Darren Dreger is going to join us at 6:05.
Yep.
He is the king of... They always say that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the best ever. You know those interviews they do with actors?
Yeah.
Like they line up, I've done them. They line up in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
You get 10 minutes and they do it. It's a car wash. They put like 100 through a day. They say you could ask Arnold Schwarzenegger any question and he would get the name of his movie in.
That's impressive.
Like what time is it? Well, you know, we were shooting Terminator 3 and at 4:15. You know,
that's the key.
Like, no matter what you asked him, he would get the name of his movie in.
That's why they call it doing publicity.
Yeah. So anyway, he's the king. Dreger's the king of golf clubs, you name it.
Gets everything. He will mention product placement is his game.
All right, so still to come today, we're going to talk about the Leafs, continuing their road trip.
We need to talk about the Leafs.
The Raptors, Kawhi.
Maybe out again.
Has the greatest part-time job in all of sports. That's all still coming on Overdrive on TSN 1050.